Hey everyone, this is Ryan with From Corners Unknown. I hope you're all doing well. I am joined with my co-host, Connor, and we are back with another album review. We are here to talk about Det Eviga Lindets Lenience, and this is a black metal album from a new Swedish outfit, one that I recently stumbled upon and have been loving quite a bit as of late. I guess before getting into the album, though, just to maybe talk a little bit about the genre of music. I don't know. I feel like we've touched a decent bit on some black metal here and there. We've had some interesting discussions on black metal albums, but I never really, I guess you and I haven't had too much of an in-depth conversation about, or I really don't have a good sense of how into black metal you are, or if you prefer things more akin to metal that is has black metal influences. Like, what are your feelings on black metal in general? Like, more, I don't want to say pure, but you know, just more just like straightforward black metal of a sort.
I've never been big on like just straightforward black metal.
Okay.
I used to not like it. I wouldn't even give it a chance back in the day. Like, I would hear like a song and be like, nah, I'm good.
You sure?
Especially when the production's pretty shit. Like, I know a lot of people are into that.
Yeah, there's definitely a large sect of black metal that is, yeah, that lo-fi sound. And then I've gotten the impression that, you know, you have some of those more true or cult, like the KVLT sound, you know, the more black stuff. And then if you have the more, say, like shoegazy or blackgazy stuff, like, you know, some folks will call them posers, what have you, you know, there's always this. There always seems to be shit getting flung at either side, depending on what type of black metal you're into. And I really try to not get into those tribalistic or like those sides of preferences. I kind of like everything, but I didn't know what you, I don't know. Just wanted to see what you felt about it.
Definitely like when black metal influences genres or like there's a mixture of stuff going on.
Sure.
Or in this album's sake, where it has like a lot more, I don't know, melody to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the guitar work on this one, it's just much more interesting.
Yeah,
my brain.
Yeah, it has yeah, it almost has, before we dig into this, it almost had a bit more of a, there's definitely like an ethereal quality to it. It almost gave me a bit of a titch of like a melancholic post-metal-ish vibe with the way it conjures these auras. It has this melancholic sense of hope nestled within it. Not always throughout this record, but there are definitely some glimmers, or there are pretty decent passages that harness that energy, and it gives it more. It definitely strays the path from what you may typically expect from just, say, a straightforward black metal record.
Oh yeah, hands down.
But yeah, that, no, it's just interesting to hear, because I know we've talked about some black metal records here and there. I think we even
talked, definitely started to grow on me, if you throwing some at me,
subjecting you to it,
and picked a few.
Yes, yeah, there was a good one we talked about a while back on one of our early episodes. Wasn't there one where it was some black metal and the guy was like infusing it with the sound of storms and field recordings and all that weird stuff? Remember that? I can't remember the guy's name. It's been so long since we talked about
it. So many albums, many artists.
But it was like the first
outside the podcast too.
Yeah, but it was like within the first like four or five episodes, I think, there was like some interesting amalgamation. It was like there'd be like a thunderstorm and then a black metal riff would erupt from it and then fade away. It was very strange.
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's been a while. I probably should have gone and looked that up, but it just popped in my mind when we were starting to get into our discussion of this.
I think it was like Cosmos Theros.
Oh, that's it. Yep, Cosmos Theros. That is right.
Is that right?
Uh-huh, Cosmos Theros.
Okay.
Yep, I think that they even quoted you directly from that, I believe, starting that trend that we've been seeing. Yes. But yeah, so this is a record that I ended up stumbling upon. It was released physically by Fallen Empire Records. I believe they're based in Portland, Oregon. I don't really recall how I stumbled upon this. I think per usual, you know, Bandcamp Discover feature, go to, you know, new arrivals or top sellings, and then you kind of, you know, I go 50, 80, you know, 120 pages deep, and I just look at all the stuff. And what really caught my eye was the artwork on this.
This artwork is sick.
Yeah, and I still don't know exactly what it is representing, because I look at it and it's pretty ethereal. You see, it almost looks like a heaven and hell with some like interstellar void between the two, but I don't really know how.
Moon maybe on top, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but the way it's just a black background, and then it has this really well-drawn image right in the center of it, and it just has this clean presentation, and it drew my eye. And after I read a bit more about the band, so this is, as I've noted, this is the debut album of this band, and they actually took this name from an author named Par Lagers. Oh, fuck. I'm going to screw this up. I'm going to have to say that again. I believe you pronounce it Par Lagerkvist. Lagerkvist. I can't. I'm struggling here as I usually do. But he was an author that wrote, I believe, a myriad of stories, and he wrote this one story, and it was published in 1920, and this album title, without me butchering it for the umpteenth time, it translates and translates from Swedish to The Eternal Smile. Uh-huh. And it is a story. It's about I ended up going and purchasing, I found an English translation of it on Amazon, because I was so intrigued by the band lifting this name from this story. And the
story sounds awesome.
Yeah, the story it's unbelievable. It was actually, there were some components of it. Yeah, some aspects of it were really, it was pretty philosophical and very, but it was very straightforward, and it had like this poeticness to it, at least when I read it. And it's, so the story is, not to go too long on it, but it basically is about all these people that are essentially residing in a void, who have passed on from their lives. They've died, and whenever they die, whatever age, they basically stay that age in this void that they live in. And all they do is, well, not all they do, they basically talk to each other about their lives to pass the time. And I don't want to give away the story, because it's a pretty interesting trajectory it takes. But there are some pretty relatable things I found in it. Some parts I found really that hit a little too close to home in some respects, like some of the aspects of how people felt about life. And, you know, you have these really interesting perspectives of people saying like, oh, you know, the point of living is to be the best human and to have all the, you know, like people would just say, I lived on the sea and I had the best life. And then somebody would say, I was the grocery clerk. Everybody loved me. I had the best life. And it's kind of these little stories that these people who don't have names talk about, and you just get these really interesting perspectives from them. And it, I don't know, I found it very illuminating and very intriguing and evocative. And just to see that this is where the band derived their name, I was like, man, this is freaking awesome. So I'm really glad to have been able I'm very glad to have been able to read this before we discuss it. And in addition to that, I also wanted to just note the Bandcamp description they use. It says, dragged out of the gloom into bright sunlight. And I think that encapsulates very well what Connor was articulating a bit earlier with the tone that they go for on this. It's not so much just this really bleak black metal or like this depressive, suicidal black metal. It has this uplifting aura to it in parts, but it's also drenched in this melancholy. And I don't know if this is intentional, but the way they wrote that phrase, dragged out of the gloom into the bright sunlight or into bright sunlight, almost made me, it almost seems like a little bit of a topsy-turvy way of looking at this really malefic black metal band from the UK named Dragged Into Sunlight. I don't know if you've listened to that band, but
I'm pretty sure you've sent them my way.
Yeah, they have one of the most disgusting records that I've ever heard in my life. And I
remember you talking about that too.
Yeah, and I was like, huh, I wonder if that's supposed to be kind of like a mirror image or something, or like just like a different dimensional take on. I don't know if that's intentional, but I was like, huh, that's interesting. Just because it says dragged into and sunlight, you know, it's all contained in one phrase or one sentence. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's anything there. I thought I'd bring it up just because I want to be a nerd and just expound upon my love for everything that I, anything that I can just talk about with respect to music. I want to just get it out there. But yeah, so what did you think of this, man? I've been talking a good bit. What did you, how did you feel about this record when you first listened to it and through subsequent listens?
I was pretty surprised on how into it I got, actually.
Okay, that's good to hear.
There are parts where there's just, either the guitar riff or even just the straight screaming where I was like, dang, that was fucking cool. I would like rewind it and like play it again, but louder, you know? Yeah, I really love just the aspect of the whole like kind of melancholic sound and just the rhythm. It's pretty constant in places and my brain can just get really latched on to certain parts of the songs.
It almost has like this, I don't want to say repetitive, but it almost like creates like a droning quality to it because it just repeats and repeats and repeats and it really just gets under your skin. And you're right, the vocal delivery I think is what really caught me. Maybe we can start going into the album a
that
bit.
That man can scream.
And it's interesting too because it's not really, it doesn't fit within what you would typically expect.
No, it's not like that harsh, cold black metal scream. It's
Or like a frog.
It almost kind of reminds me of some like metalcore screams in a way, but not, with no clean vocals.
No, that's a I almost made it akin, if I don't know if you've listened to much like blackened hardcore music before, but
I can see that.
Like it has like just this very raspy harshness to it, but there are some moments where you're like, man, this guy sounds like he's about to just shred his vocal cords. And it really doesn't, it cuts against what you would typically expect, because sometimes, you know, with some black metal you can expect it to sound like some frog croaky sort of style, and
sometimes it's comical
and that's totally fair. There's I'm not here to pass judgment on your preference of style of black metal. I don't dislike that style, but I can totally respect your decision for, or just your taste for not liking it. It's not to everybody's, you know, it's not to everybody's ear. It's really not. So, but maybe we could dig a titch into this album, go into some of the tracks with all of that background out of the way. Do you want to maybe start this up?
Yeah, we could just dive into track one.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You kind of have like a dark ambient opening, actually.
Yeah.
And then you get this blackened wash of guitars and just blasting drum beats, getting some sad doom vibes to it all.
Right.
Kind of melancholic. And then another guitar enters in, and it just slathers us with this filthy tar. And at this point, like, I somehow connected this track to the album cover. It just felt fitting. I can't really describe that in any way, just something in me was like, that fits. And these instruments continue just to climb through the muck. And then about 2 minutes in, it starts to pick up a tad. The drums are no longer just blasting in your ear, and it kind of creates a constant rhythm with cymbals and all. And then that's when you first start to get like kind of these guitar melodies, and I actually found myself kind of head bobbing. Which typically doesn't happen with black metal in me. So I think that's really where I started to fall in love with this album.
Interesting. Okay. That's good to know. I mean, yeah, and this track, as you said, it even has those qualities of a dark ambient or this atmospheric nature where it sounds, I think it's just synth. It could be some other instruments, or I don't know how they generate them, but throughout this track and subsequent tracks, they layer in these nice droning, synthy, ambient swells that piece everything together and give it a bit more atmosphere beyond just the instruments, the, you know, just all the bands playing the respective instruments. And yeah, the opening track, it doesn't have any vocals, but it definitely conjures, whenever I listen to black metal, or at least on this record, it made me feel cold. It almost had like this blizzard feel to it, like you're just lost in this snowstorm. And it even, something about black metal, maybe people can illuminate this a bit for me, I almost feel like it has just like this medieval quality to it as well, just like this ancient evil or something like malefic to it. But
Well, I was picturing like a, yeah, like a snow-filled landscape, mm-hmm. and there's just, I don't know, these black towering castle-like structures.
Right.
Like pine trees whipping back and forth.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that that could even relate to some more other black metal albums, but that definitely is a nice image to imagine for this record. And I think that this track, oh, it does a nice job just setting the tone, and it's just a few minutes in length, and it gives you exposure to a lot of the elements you're going to be hearing throughout the remaining five tracks. I definitely want to go into Ingest. Do you want to maybe start the conversation on that? Because I think that this is certainly my favorite track on the record, but I didn't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one quite a bit.
I have a little asterisk, and it says the guitar groove in this one, like right next to the title of the song. But yeah, just a storm of guitar creates a rift in the black emptiness. Drums are splashing. And this is when you get the first taste of vocals.
Yes.
They just scream out. Unfortunately, no access to lyrics, so I can't.
Likewise.
Engage my nerdiness into that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the guitar groove I'm talking about or whatever, it happens about maybe a little after a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost feel like the static, like resonance fluttering off the strings as they're played.
Yeah.
And you just get these menacing, like crunching riffs. I don't know. This is like that part, like about a minute and 30 seconds in, I just found. Here we go. Here's my use of words. I found that part kind of sexy.
Jesus, man. That's funny.
Sexy black metal.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Two things go well together.
Oh, God, that's good. I was not expecting you to say that word at all. I thought you were just going to say dirty again or something stupid, but that's great. Oh, my God. But so yeah, you get in the beginning, you get a little more. So we hear that hardcore-esque delivery. I don't want to say it is in that vein, but it gives me that vibe. And there's some, what I like about this album as a bit more of a general note, but it's a good way to contextualize it with an example in this track, is there's this nice, like, subtle drum work and shift in drum rhythm that seems to be employed throughout many of the songs. That, you know, the drums are pretty deeply, not to say that you can't hear them, but they're suppressed underneath just the wash and blizzard and iciness of the guitar riffs and the bass. But there's this really cool moment near the part you're talking about where the maelstrom of instruments are ensuing. And it almost sounds like the drummer's arms, like he's doing almost like a waltz beat of some sort over the top of his double kicks. Because he's going like, bum, tss, tss, bum, tss. Like it has like this little movement to it where I don't know it, and it's not to say that it is a waltz beat because it's not, you know, the kick drum isn't driving with it, but the way he's doing the little hi-hat snare thing or the cymbal snare, it just has this nice little texture that I really didn't even pick up on so much until I listened to it and really engaged with it a little bit later on. And throughout parts of this track, beyond just that, you hear other subtle movements and little, I don't know, there's just, I really appreciated the little, just the fine details that the drummer was employing throughout the tracks. And if you just pay just enough close attention, you can just hear these little subtleties in, say, the beat, the rhythm, what have you, and it just creates a bit more of an engaging listen. So, I don't know, I just wanted to mention that. And I'm not saying this as, you know, a critic or, you know, somebody with, I'm not very well technically minded with how to describe these things. So when I say waltz, it's not, I don't actually mean that. It's just the way that he's playing it. It just gives me that vibe, that, you know, like a 3-beat vibe. But yeah, there's even a little reprieve in here around the 2:30 mark where the drums halt, the bass reverberates, and the guitars swirl in the lonesome space. And in your left ear, you get these solemn notes ringing out. And then the right ear, the riff just keeps swirling and swirling. And it just has this dynamic movement between them. And then you have that, yeah, you just have that icy synth droning ominously while this is going on. So there's some nice interplay.
That droning synth is so good.
Yeah.
That's another part that really grabbed my attention in the whole album.
Yeah, because it just, it's not even to say that it's a very complex thing to add to any track, but it adds so much to just the atmosphere.
Stands out significantly.
Right. And they don't bury the hell out of it. Like, they really let it shine through in certain moments, and it almost just awestrikes you in a way, or it just leaves you a little awestruck. You're just like, oh man, this is really cool, or kind of affix your gaze wherever you are imagining yourself when listening to this. But there's a moment on this that I wanted to go into specifically where you get, I mean, the only words I was really ever able to pick out on this record is on this track where the
vocal,
we watch the sky rise, but I see the light die in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what he says. And he says it multiple times, but the way he delivers it, it's just so like skin crawlingly good. I don't know. It's so vicious and so, it just feels like so pained. Like, it's just like anguishing, you know, to say these words. But as soon as he's saying that, you get that really cool drum beat where it's just doing like that groovy pop, not poppy, but it just has like that grooving pop to it. And you're just like, man, dude, like, this is like, as you said, like a head banging sort of moment. And it just took me by surprise. I was like, man, this is fucking killer. That was
the part where I would play it again. I was just like, what? I was caught off guard.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It's like a hook. It really just digs into your flesh when that part comes in, and it closes out the track beautifully. And I don't know. I really wanted to go into that song at the very in as much depth as I could, just because I just found that to be such a perfect song. It just has so much in it, and the vocals have so much energy to them. But did you want to maybe add some more to that, or do you want to go into another track you really dig?
Yeah, we could jump to Here We Go in order again.
Yes.
I think my favorite track was actually track 3.
Okay, cool.
I absolutely love the instrumentals so much in this one.
Let's go into it.
Like, this is one, I think 2 and 3 I would just replay over and over.
Yep.
Actually.
Yeah, they're very good.
But it kind of starts with this weird electronic drops and like these high pitched tones, and then these drums splurt out. You can hear like a high tone under it all,
right?
And it's just black and beauty almost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's just this crushing sound of instruments, specifically the first minute. Something about like just the sound of guitars and the tone it's over, and the drums just bashing.
I
was just invigorated.
Yeah,
like, I jumped into a cold, icy pond or something, just jumped out, and just, you know, you're just, fuck.
Right.
I'm getting excited just talking about it.
Yeah, no, and that is a point. I, at least when I listened to this, I said there's a very keen sense of wonder that emanates from the opening portion. It almost had like an angelic quality, like this, I don't know, almost not, I don't know if epic is the right word, but it had like an angelic quality at least. I know what you mean, though. There's definitely something very evocative about the opening of this track. But as you were saying,
I even have it like after about a minute and 30 seconds.
I have, yes.
You could even battle dragons to this.
Oh my God, dude. Jesus.
But then the vocals come in, and you get more of that just anguish and sorrow within the vocals as the storm of instruments come pouring down. This track just gets me so hyped. And then you get some cool tonal stuff happening within the instrument storm. Gets a little grittier at points.
Yeah.
There's a little more hope in this one. It's not just like a bleak coldness.
Right.
I just found myself smiling ear to ear on this one over and over again.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. And there's even, I think, toward the end, or as we're getting a little deeper in the track, there's some neat use of like the static froth that is pouring from a synth or some electronic instrument. And again, it bookends it with what you hear in the beginning. I believe there's almost like this angelic croon to it, and the instruments again strike almost like this grooving pace of sorts. And I think that is, I can never tell, I never know if it's just an electronic manipulation or if it's a synth, what have you, but just the way they bookend the track, it just adds so much mood and feeling to the song. It just adds so much. There's like a melancholic quality to it. Like, it's a little depressing, mm-hmm. but the way they blend in just like these really malefic and bleak black metal tones while still making it feel somewhat uplifting at times. It's pretty remarkable. So,
It's that combination really works.
Yeah. Yeah. They strike it really well. And that's what really kept me hooked on this album. And I think I can certainly reciprocate the sentiment you described of, I listened to it the first time, I'm like, oh, that was cool. But then as I listened to it more and more, I really got into it. There was just so much more to get absorbed in. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's just the aura that they generate on this album. Like, there's just such a tantalizing quality to the ambience of this record that is just so wondrous and otherworldly. It just really captures this, I don't know, it really just seems to capture the essence of a world that we probably won't see until we die or what have you. Like, it really, like, even after reading that story, The Eternal Smile, from the author, I was like, huh, you know, like, I can kind of get a feeling of what that story emanates, and I can kind of relate it a bit to how this album sounds tonally. Yeah,
it's like, here you are dead in the void.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing to do but talk about the life you had.
Exactly.
Which, you know, you're sad and you're in the void.
Right.
But you're reflecting back on the good times you had. And
right.
The good deeds, I guess, you had in your life.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But yeah, maybe we could go into another track, or, I mean, there are six tracks on this. It's a pretty succinct listen, but we always
enjoy four.
Yeah, let's go into Embark. Let's do that. What'd you dig about that one?
Okay, the screams in this one, I would say, are probably the gnarliest screams in the whole album,
sure,
in my opinion. These are the ones where I'm like, man, dude, does your throat hurt?
Does your throat hurt? Nice.
Does your throat hurt? Apparently my brain hurts. But yeah, dude, he's like, wow, those are some pipes. I hope they know how to scream properly. But
yeah, so they don't just shred them out over time, or
right?
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. So they can keep releasing more stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, you get more of just a storm of instruments over some nice swells of ambience, and the drums in this one are pretty killer too.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that I was gonna make. There's a really cool drum section or pattern in here, and it almost seems, not to call back to the second track we talked about, Ingest, where I mentioned, you know, I said like that waltz sound thing, or like that little triple sound, like the busts. There's also like a moment where the drummer sounds like he's doing that and then mixing it in with something that's like more like a bumps. Like, there's just this really cool dynamic between the way he's like just shifting the little rhythms that he's creating, and that, I don't know, I've come to really love that quality of this record with each repeated listen. But, you know, my mouth noises that I'm making, that's not obviously gonna be doing the album justice here. You should go listen to this for yourselves. But
these mouth movements are the
best. Yeah. Just all these random noises I continue to make, and probably just,
you know, we should make our own like album using just snippets of the crap we like.
I'm sure somebody listening, if they feel really compelled, they would do that for us, or they maybe they'll get in touch with us. But what else about this track, Embark, did you dig?
Well, back to the screams, I just loved how he would hold the screams, like,
yeah,
for, I don't know, like 5 seconds or more at a time.
Right.
But then there was these moments in between line delivery of the lyrics or whatever, where the guitar riff would change. Mm-hmm. Oh, once again, I'm horrible at describing the actual sound of the riff.
That's okay.
But I just love the dynamic of, here he is screaming, and then screams are gone, and then the guitar changes.
Yeah.
And then screams are back. Like, just the way that, like, they did it.
Are you talking,
I mean, that
about,
happens all the time in music, but the way they did it in this album.
Yeah, is that the piece just after about like the 2 minute mark you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, yeah, I took heavy note of that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, the guitars and the drums and the vocals sound like they're just frying in these spastic outbursts between, and then like they'll like outburst, and then there'll be like a little subdued sort of groove, and then they'll do it again, and then they'll do another little groove, and they'll do it again. And I was like, man, that is such a cool move. Yeah, they just did such a great job on that part. Oh my god, yeah, I really love that. But yeah, I didn't know if there were any other bits you wanted to go into on this track, or if that kind of encapsulated what you wanted to articulate on that.
You know, there's a part towards the end, it's probably like the last, I don't know, 40 seconds or so, when the storm of instruments and screams kind of died down.
Yeah.
and you get like this kind of ambient swell, a little staticky, some wind in there. And I felt as if like, oh, the storm has passed, or you're in like the eye of the storm, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And then the song just kind of dies out. Nice little way to end cap that track.
I agree. Yeah, you even hear some like little scratches and tears of noise far off in the space too, like that are kind of getting melded within that synthy aura that's being produced. Yeah, I really like that. And again, just to note, just to reiterate the use of synth on this track and others, it's great. But maybe without going into, I feel like we could probably talk about one more track. So we'll talk about 5 of 6, which is quite a few. But, you know, we've been pretty excited to discuss this one. Did you have a preference over track 5 versus track 6?
6 is pretty
lenient.
Pretty good.
Yeah, the title track. Let's go into that. What'd you like about it?
You get some pretty insane beats going on at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Just blasting through. And then you get another just black and guitar swell that slithers its way through the bleakness. Found the scream to be pretty desperate in this one.
Yeah.
It made me feel a little sad.
Yeah, sure.
And there's a scream at a minute and 40 seconds where it's so pained. And there's kind of this double vocal stuff going on here. I don't know if there's like some, I don't know, reverbing, echoing, stuff. And it was a nice little touch. And then there's a part around 2:15, I guess.
Dude, you and I are hitting like the exact same notes, like the timestamp. Really? It's like everything you said, I'm like, oh, I have a note for that exactly. Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
but yeah. I'm kidding. And then in my notes, this period of instruments here were And then I went into first person. I'm like, what does the M's even mean, Connor?
Oh my God, dude.
I guess I just loved it so much that I wanted to eat it, you know?
Okay, well, this is we're losing our sanity quickly over here, it seems.
My sanity God. Was never there, man.
That's true.
But in your much more articulated version of that.
Yes.
What did you think of that portion?
Yeah. So, just around that 215, 220 mark. Yeah. There's like this really slick drum beat that gets paired with the bass, and it almost has like a little bit, like a titch of like a bouncing quality to it. It gives it a nice groove of sorts. And as that foundation is constructed, I've really liked the way the guitars swirl and they conjure just that delectable black metal atmosphere. It just kind of has that blizzard quality to it. And I think a bit later on, at about like 4:10, 4:15, there's another harrowing shriek that's let out. And this track really is quite ceaseless in how long the blast beats just keep going and going, and it's like really intense. It just really doesn't seem to let up all that much when listening to this, and you don't get much of a moment to relax, but it really almost struck me with awe just kind of at how, I mean, there's a lot of skill that seems to be going into this record, and I just found something kind of beautiful in the relentlessness of how, you know, just how they kept pushing this tempo and they really wouldn't let it up. They just kept going and going. And as you said, some of those shrieks or those cries that guy gives out, even toward the beginning, I think, as you said, it almost sounds like the microphone was about to burst. Like, it just sounded like so strained. It was so vociferous, and I was like, my God. It definitely like raised the hair on my arms a little bit. I was like, man, I don't know how the hell they did that, if they just manipulated it in studio, or if that guy just really gave it everything he could on that performance, that one take, because it's so well done. And yeah, I think that the track ends up closing and fading out, and it has this gyrating, whirring synth that swirls overhead, and it just gives you this nice moment, because the track is, as I said, pretty ceaseless, but the last minute or so just gives you a brief moment to kind of reflect and collect yourself after you've just been pulverized.
Exactly what I put.
Yep. But I think that we don't have to go into, I don't want to make this like a track by track review. And I think we covered and we got into everything we wanted to get into, but maybe as maybe some summary thoughts, did you have anything specifically you wanted to touch on in addition to what we already have discussed?
Yeah, I think I kind of said it a little bit earlier. Just the production value in this is just, it's so well done and thought out greatly. Oh, there's just a lot of care and talent that I feel went into this.
Yeah.
And honestly, it might be one of my, I guess, favorite black metal albums.
Yeah. I've heard. No, it's really good. And I'm glad we ended up talking about this. I don't even think I mentioned that this album actually came out October of 2018. So we're a little late on this, but I really just wanted to discuss this one as I found it very entrancing and there just seems to be so much energy and passion that is going into this, especially with the vocal delivery, and there's some really neat moments sprinkled throughout. And also, if you can, I think getting a copy of the novel, the short story, is a little tough. I think last time I checked, it's like if you live in the States, it costs like at minimum like $25-$30, and some of them are like, I tried to find hundreds.
Like a digital copy of it or something, but gave up.
Yeah. But it's I mean, for a short story that was written in 1920, I'm blown away at like how relevant it still feels, or just like what I got out of it. I need to reread it. But man, it's quite a superb short story. And I think that this band is doing pretty goddamn well by, you know, adopting the name in its, you know, the native Swedish tongue. It definitely seems to be paying homage in a sense to this novel, and it really emanates that feeling, that mournful, melancholy sound with some really vociferous black metal riffs. And I can't recommend this enough. I really love this record. So yeah, I didn't know if you, I assume you recommend this based on what you've said, but yeah,
I obviously like it.
yeah. So with that being said, what do you think we should play a little snippet of for folks?
We could go with track two.
Okay, that sounds good. We will play a snippet of Ingest for you folks, and yeah, we hope you enjoy this one, and let us know what you think about it.
That was our review of Lenience by Odette Vig Lindet. I probably said that wrong, and I'm sorry, but I hope you enjoyed it. You could check us out on iTunes Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast.
Oh, you got them. Nice.
Hey, I made it that time. And follow us on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. Yeah. Subscribe away to all those different platforms I just mentioned. Give us some feedback. Rip us apart. Give us a loving, loving embrace of words.
Sure, whatever. Yeah, whatever you feel keen on doing.
Yeah.
We always love hearing from you folks, and we appreciate you listening. We do hope you enjoyed our review of this, and yeah, you'll hear from us sometime soon. We'll continue to churn out these episodes, and yeah, feel free to let us know how you're liking the new album review format, and yeah, you'll hear from us pretty darn soon. So thank you so much for tuning in, and take care.